So a few words of Moranayim, and then we've been learning the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi, we'll learn about Purim, but a word or two about Parshas Truma. We actually learned some of the Moranayim on Truma last week, where he speaks about Zion Adar, which is coming up this Shabbos, Sunday actually. Mosi Shabbos. And remember last week, the Moranayim said that what happened on Zion Adar? Sound familiar? Moshe Rabbeinu died, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Very good. So the Moranayim says, though, that after Moshe died, he was immediately reborn. And there's a little bit of Moshe in every one of us. There's a spark of Moshe in every one of us, buried inside every one of us. And if he wouldn't have that spark, we would be totally paralyzed. It's that little spark of Moshe that keeps us going. That's what we said in last week's parasha. In this week's parasha, the Moranayim speaks about the idea that every single Yid has a letter in the Torah that corresponds to him. So there's Yechiel Meir and Meir Yechiel. Not Yechiel Aryeh. Sorry, Yechiel Aryeh. Aryeh, Meir. So Yechiel Aryeh. So maybe your letter in the Torah is a Yud. There's two Yuds in Yechiel Aryeh. So your connection to the Torah is a Yud. And if you wouldn't be that there was a letter in the Torah that corresponded to your name, then you could not even learn Torah. The Torah would not penetrate into you. And the Moranayim here points out that there are two, every letter, the shape of the letter itself has a message. So the Yud, which is the smallest letter, is the letter of Tzimtzum, the letter of concentration. So you probably have very good concentration powers, because the first letter in your name is Yud for Yechiel. So Yud is a very concentrated letter. That's Tzimtzum. That means you can, nothing distracts you, right? You're focused on something and you're thinking about it. Nothing in the world can distract you. And the letter Vav is the opposite. Vav is like a stretched out Yud. That is Hamshachas HaTorah. And Hamshachas HaTorah is the idea of the ability to let your mind take a subject and expand upon it. And expand the subject, and expand the subject matter. That's a Vav. So every letter has a particular, the shape of the letter itself has a message. Has a message. But if we wouldn't have that, there are letters that relate to human characteristics, and every one of us has a letter that relates to us, we couldn't even learn Torah. Because Torah is the seichel of Hashem. It is so awesome, it is so far beyond us, we wouldn't even grasp anything in Torah. And when a person learns Torah with the idea that I want to be dovek in my sherish neshama, then the Torah will stick to him. If I want to stick to the Torah sticks to me. That's the message of the Moranayim on Parshas Tetzave. I mean Parshas Truma. And the topic, I said, two more learned last week, and it's already parsed the topic. Now we turn back to the Halak Kedushas Levi. Can I get me a Gemara Sanhedrin, please? And the Kedushas Levi, here in the Kedushas Shniyah, I told you last week that the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, has four essays on Purim, corresponding to the four mitzvahs of Purim. What are the four mitzvahs of Purim? The roll with a mem. You have Megillah, reading the Megillah, and you have Matanos Levyonim with a mem. Megillah, Matanos Levyonim, Mishloach Manos, and Mishta, and having a party. So you have four mems. Isn't that interesting? Mem is the big letter on Purim. Mordechai, mem for Mordechai. It's a big letter. Melech, mem, Matanos, Manos, Megillahs. Big letter. Mishteh. So he said, I'll explain to you what the idea of Matanos Levyonim is. listen to this brilliant exposition of Matanas Davyayna. So he says it all starts from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara Sanhedrin here, on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, tells us that Omar Mar Zutra Vitem Mar Ukva Vitchila Nit Natar Yisrael B'Ksav Ivri V'Losh Nakaydish. He says originally the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael in Ksav Ivri, which is the Ksav of the people on the other side of the river. That is not Ksav Ashuri. If anything, Ksav Ivri would be similar to the script that we write, not the Ksav Ashuri that you read in the Sefer Torah. And it was given B'Loshon HaKodesh in pure Hebrew. Chazra Nitlehem B'Mei Ezra V'Ksav Ashuris V'Loshon Arami. In the time of Ezra, the beginning of the second base of Mikdash, the Torah was given B'Ksav Ashuris, what we have today, the best Ksav. Ashuris doesn't necessarily mean from Assyria, it means Ashuris Lashon Mu'ushar. It means the best, finest Ksav. But the language is Arami. And Bir Lehem Yisrael Ksav Ashur Lashon HaKodesh. V'nich L'Joytis Ksav Ivris V'Loshon Arami. See, the Torah says that ultimately the Jewish people chose, they got the best of the best. They chose that for permanent Sifri Torah, from now on, our Sifri Torah are written in Ksav Ashuris, as you read for your Bar Mitzvah, and in Lashon HaKodesh, pure Hebrew. Not Aramaic language, and not Ivri script. Those are inferior. Arami is an inferior language. Ivri Ksav is not what we call Ksav Ashuris, it's a different kind of it might be the Phoenician writing, you know, that if you look at all these coins in Bar Kokhba's time, they have this different kind of writing. It's not Ksav Ashuris. It's a different kind of Ksav. What?
What does it look like?
You've seen these old coins.
You have
to, it's a different kind of writing entirely. It's, again, similar to Phoenicians, even close to our Latin alphabet. So today we have the best of best. The best writing, the best letters, nicest, and the best language, which is Lashon HaKodesh. And the Gemara continues, it says, what exactly is, and they left over the secondary languages and writing for Hedyotos, for simple people. Was Ksav Ivris? So the Gemara says, it's Ksav Libuno. It is called Ksav Libuno. Which means, that Rashi, Oisis Gedoilis, then Oisim Kishkoizim, but Kamiyas and Mezuzah, big letters, like they write in a Mezuzah or a Kameya. Kameya is an amulet. It's not clear what that means. But it's not the best. And then the Gemara says, and Taisa is another pshat, it's not the best Ksav though. It's a Mashunadik Ksav, it's a strange Ksav, says Taisa. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Roi Hoya Ezra, Shetinosin Torah Yodai, the Yisrael. Ezra was such a great man. And when Ezra lived, the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra was so great. You know what Ezra was? Was Ezra Levi or Yisrael? Levi. Well, he was actually one of your tribe. He was a Kohen. He was a Kohen. And Ezra was such a great man that he was worthy that the Torah should be given by him. Just that Moshe Rabbeinu jumped the gun and took it. Very amazing statement. That Ezra was so great that had he been the right time in the right place, the Torah would be given by Ezra. But the Moshe took it earlier. Right? When Moshe says, Moshe Ola Lelakim, and Ezra says, who Ezra? Ola Mi Bavo. Just like it says, Aliyah by Ezra, it means the Torah. So by Moshe it says, Aliyah means Torah, but Ezra also means Torah. So he's a very great man. So the Gemara says, Afal pi, Shalai nit na Torah al yadai, nishtan al yadai ksav. But Ezra, as a token of his greatness, ain't the chanami, the Torah wasn't given through Ezra. The Torah already was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. But Ezra at least was zolcha that the writing changed, and that instead of the old-fashioned Phoenician or scriptural writing that they used earlier in Ezra's time. They introduced Ksav Ashuris. See, we zocher that the Ksav was Nishtan al Yadav, because it's called Ksav Nishtavon. And Rashi says, until Ezra's time, they were writing a strange writing. But the writing, that, you know, the exact moment it was changed was when the Malach came and wrote the handwriting on the wall. You know the story of the handwriting on the wall? What's the story of the handwriting on the wall? So, in the year 3389, right before Chatzos HaLaila on Pesach, Belshazzar was having a big party. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar ruled over Babylon for 45 years. He had a son who ruled for 23 years. What was the son's name? What? No. Nebuchadnezzar's son was Evil Merodach. Evil Merodach was the king of Babylonia for 23 years. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king for 45 years. And then Belshazzar was the king for 2 years. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Niyev Zro. Now Belshazzar, this day was the night of Pesach. On the Erev Pesach, Belshazzar was attacked by the Persians, the Iranians, by Darius and Cyrus, Daryavesh and Korash, who were not Babylonian. They were Persians, the Medians. And he managed to repel them, and that night made a big party, because that night marked the 70th year of Gaul's Babel. He said, of Malchus Babel. He said, if Malchus Babel, our tradition is, if Babel lasts 70 years and beyond, the Jews are dead. So he was made a big party. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash that night. And his daughter was Vashti. And that night, during the party, while he's drinking from the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which you Kahanim are supposed to be using in the Beis HaMikdash, suddenly a hand of a malach, a huge hand starts writing on the wall of the palace, four Aramaic words. Minei, minei, tekal, ufarsin. Which means?
Minei
means I have counted. The number of years have been counted. Tekal, lashon shekel. Your deeds have been weighed, and they've been found to be deficient. Ufarsin, your kingdom will be ripped apart. He saw the handwriting on the wall. Everyone was scared to death. If you would see a hand just coming on the wall right now, writing something, an unknown handwriting, we'd be so petrified. Everyone, their knees were shaking. Everyone was trembling. Their knees were knocking against each other. And the handwriting, they didn't recognize either. Because the handwriting, Taka, was because that Ksav was Ksav Ashuris. So no one even recognized the handwriting. Because until then, it was Aramaic, it was the old-fashioned handwriting, not Ashuris, and it was Aramaic language. And now this Ksav was changed on this day to Ksav Ashuris. And the only person who could read it was Daniel. So Daniel came out and said, I can read it and I can explain it. It means, Menei, Tekel, Farsim. But no one else could read it, because it was a new Ksav. And this was really the introduction to the Tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was coming real soon, that it was Ezra's Chus. Ezra knew about that Ksav that just was appeared in Belshazzar's palace for a brief few moments, because a few minutes later, when the clock struck midnight, Daryavesh and Korash, Darius and Cyrus once again attacked those shots, and they only made believe they're running away. They really did not, and it was a ruse, and they came bursting into the palace and killed everybody, including Belshazzar, and everyone was killed except for Vashti. And that was the end of the Babylonian Empire. So it didn't really last 70 years. It was right before this, right before midnight, the re-attack took place, and they were destroyed. So it says, so the question is, asked the Kedushas Levi, why was the Ksav changed at that time in history? And Davka Meschus of Ezra. Again, that night it was changed just in four words, very briefly. It was just a glimpse of things to come. That the reason why the Babylonian Empire was destroyed was to have given opportunity to Ezra some 20 years later, less than 20 years later, maybe I have to figure out the numbers, but between 50 and 20 years later, Ezra would reintroduce Ksav Ashur as the Klal Yisrael. And the question is, what does that mean? Why was Ezra Zolcha to this? What does it mean? So the Chiddush of the Kedushas Levi is that the Ksav was changed in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash as a reward for the story of Purim, with the Yidden were makabel the Torah a second time, mi'avo. And the Gemara says, kimu mashe kiblu kfar, kimu v'kiblu ayudim aleim, and the Yidden were makayim, the Torah that they were makabel at Harsinai, but at Harsinai they were forced into a little bit, Hashem put the mountain over their heads, and they weren't 100% happy with the Torah, but after the days of Mordechai v'Esther, by Purim, they were makabel the Torah without any reservations, any hesitations. It was 100% Kabbalah Zatayr with a full heart, with full love, with full enthusiasm. No reservations, nothing held back. And the schus that the Makabbalah Zatayr so wholeheartedly, there was zochah to the new handwriting. And now the Beis HaLevi, the Kedushas Levi, is trying to explain what's the relationship between the Makabbalah Zatayr wholeheartedly and the new handwriting. You have any thoughts on this, Yichel Aryeh? What is the relationship between the Makabel, the Torah, Mi'ava, and a new handwriting? That is the question of tonight, gentlemen. He brings down a Medrash Shir Hashirim, the Kedushas Levi, that says, B'chlal, the whole binyan of the second Beis HaMikdash was only in the merit of the Nes of Purim. The Nes of Purim gave us a lot of things. It gave us a second Kabbalah Zotayra. It gave us a Beis HaMikdash, and now we're learning from another thing, that it gave us the handwriting, with the best handwriting, Ksav Ashuris, the best. Why? So, he mamish, it's a very, again, Hashem always gives us a zchus, that the Kedushas Levi we learn, dovetails beautifully with the Moranayim. So we just finished learning the Moranayim. That the Isis of the Torah, the pictures of the Isis, the tune of the Isis, the very shape of the Isis has a message. And it says the same thing. A Yud is Tzimtzum. Yud represents concentration, focus. Vav represents Hispashtus. Just the opposite, expanding a subject. Making it big. expanding the explanation of it. Hispashtus. Yud is Tzimtzum, Vav is Hispashtus. Which means that first, when you learn Torah, the Talmud Chacham concentrates a lot. And in his mind, the whole subject is like a yud. Very concentrated. But the schus that the Talmud Chacham works so hard to understand. He's up at quarter to 11 at night listening to difficult concepts, and it's hard for him to mitzamtzum to concentrate so late at night. And that schus in the end, he's zochah to his pashtus, he's zochah that the subject matter becomes big in his mind, and he starts thinking all over the place, and the thing looms large and big and important, and it's significant, and the little subject he puts so much effort into suddenly becomes all encompassing, and he goes around Kol Torah Kulo and finds new insights all over wherever he turns, and becomes a huge new subject. And the schus that he concentrated like a yud, it ends up a vav. But he says that you should know that the letters of any language in the world, many letters. Every many languages have different letter systems. So the Russians have Cyrillic, which is not so far away from Latin. We have Latin letters. There's Cyrillic. There's Gothic letters. Arabic. Arabic is so different than our writing. Right? It's totally different. Then there's Chinese and Korean and Japanese. That's very strange stuff. That's totally different than we. It's a pictograph. Then there's ancient writing. Actually, we were in Azerbaijan, and the writing there is also very different. It's not Arabic, and it's not Latin, it's something else. I mean, I haven't traveled the world. If I travel the world, I'm sure that there'll be many. I think Indians also have a different alphabet. There's different alphabets, different writing, and he says, listen to the Kedush Levi says that the shapes of the letters of any Gilfan alphabet reflect the mental process of that nation. So if you look at Arabic, they're very, Arabic is very squiggly, because they don't think very straight. They're very squiggly. They're very not focused people. They're not known for their super brains, being great scholars, scientists, doctors. They're good at counting dollars from oil. That's good. They're good at pumping oil. That's been, and Nebuch pumping blood. Chmon Lutlan. So it's interesting. Chinese, Korean, also, it's very interesting. The Ksav is totally different. But it's a reflection of the character and the mindset of the people. So he says that originally, the Yidden were not zeich of the Ksav Ashuris, because Ksav Ashuris is the Ksav, which the pictures, the very way that, if you look at the Sefer Torah, I mean, rabbis get a lot of aliyahs, and I look very carefully at the Isis, very carefully to you, Moshecha or Godla myself. I want to bring a big light, tell you all the time, the Bar Hete says, Narizal, you look at the letters of the Torah, you draw a great light upon yourself. It's really beautiful. The calligraphy of a Sefer Torah is gorgeous, and that is considered the perfect writing. And what's the pshat perfect writing? It's a writing that allows the shayrish of the ois, the light of the ois in Shemayim, to penetrate down to earth. We know that Hashem created the world through the letters of the Torah, and the light that created this world comes through those letters. If the letter is a perfect letter, then it's a perfect circuitry, and the light and the energy comes down perfectly. Today I had a short circuit in my house, so the light and electricity wasn't coming in straight enough. I had an outage, short circuit, something was wrong with the wires. So the ices of the Torah are the wiring system and the delivery system, that the light and the bracha Shemayim comes down to earth through the letters of the Torah. So the chiddush of the Kedush Levi is the reason why until the Nes of Purim, the letters were not good letters. The letters of the Torah were not the perfect letters of Ksav Ashuris. The reason is, says the Kedush Levi, because the light of the Torah had not yet penetrated deep enough into the world. The world was still an obstacle. So, if you remember, the Mori Naim himself says in a few places that Chazal say a famous lashon of Esther. How could Esther allow herself to be a wife of Ahasuerus? The answer is, the Mori says, she was totally passive. Esther karka olam. Esther was like the dirt of the earth. Just like the dirt doesn't move, she didn't do anything. She's just laying there. She doesn't do anything. She's karka olam. She's like virgin soil. Nothing. She's just there. And the Mori Naim explains that means, but it's much deeper before he says, that through Esther, the light of Hashem penetrated into the deepest, darkest places on earth that it never went before. Karak oil means it's just like earth. A glob of earth is like the ultimate antithesis to spirituality. Right? A piece of earth. Dirt. Dirt! What's spiritual about dirt? It's domain. It's a mineral. It's nothing. It's not there. So, Esther karak oil means that Esther brought the Shechina down even to Karak Olam. She brought down even to the lowest places in the earth. So the Chiddush of Megillah is that we spoke about last week as well. That the reason why there was another Kabbalah Zatayra on Purim is because on Purim the Torah penetrated to the deepest depths it never did before. The Purim story is a story about nature. No out of ordinary miracles. No extraordinary miracles. No supernatural miracles. Which means to say that Megillah was the story of the ordinary becoming extraordinary. The ordinary becoming holy. Everyday life becoming eternal life. Until the time of the story of the Megillah, the Kedusha of Hashem did not penetrate into the lowest crevices of the world of nature, of the everyday, regular, normal life. It wasn't there. And later on, the Kedusha Levi says that, the Gemara says that the story of Mechias HaMalek has to be mentioned 4 times. It says, Ksavti Lechem Shaleshim Urebeyim. The story will be written 3 and 4 times. And the Gemara has different ways of looking at it, but essentially the 4 times are what? The first time the Torah speaks about Mechias HaMalek and B'Shalach. Second time is the Parsky Seitz, says 2. Then the 3rd time is in Sefer Shmuel, with Ushal, Parsha Zohar. And the 4th time is the story of the Megillah. How come the Gemara is a pasuk that the Megillah is, the story of the Mechias HaMalek is going to be written 4 times in the Holy Scriptures, in Tanakh, in Kisvi HaKadosh? Why? Why 4 times? What's the significance of 4 times? Right? There's a pasuk, Halo Kisafti, L'chosh Shalishim, right? And they put a pasuk, Shalishim, first one says 3 times, not 4 times. Then one says, no, it is 4 times. Because it says, Ksaiv Zois, Zikarim B'Sefer. Ksaiv is 1 time, Zois the 2nd time, Zikarim the 3rd time, and B'Sefer is the 4th time. Essentially, it's 4 times. More has different drushes on this, though. So the question is, why is the story written 4 times? And the answer is, because you know there's 4 worlds. There's the Olam of Abiyah, there's Atzilus, there's Bria, there's Yetzira, and there's Asiya. There are 4 worlds. The highest world is Atzilus, that's before creation. The next world is Bay, is Bria, that's creation. Yetzira is after creation of Yeshma Ayin. Then God started to make the initial forms. And the final perfect physical world is Olam Asiya. So Amalek is what separates between us, between the light of God coming down to this world. Amalek interfered with Hashem coming into this world on all four levels. He interfered in the world of Atzilus, and the world of Bria, and the world of Asiya, and the world of Yetzir, and the world of Asiya, Abiyah. And every time we find Amalek, we remember him, it's getting the obstacle of Amalek out of the way, and bringing Hashem down lower and lower and lower down to this world in the lowest places. So the first time he doesn't interfere with God in Olam Atzilus, the 2nd time not in Bria, the 3rd time not in Yetzirah, and the 4th time not in Asiya. That's why it's 4 times. Because Haman and Amalek have the ability to go to Mamash, to the Sherish of Bria, to the sources, to the roots of the Bria. And that is why until the story of the Megillah, the Torah could not be written in the perfect Hebrew letters, because a perfect Hebrew letter means that there's a perfect connection between the light of Hashem and this low world. And because of the miracle of the Megillah, that the light of Hashem was brought down to this world of Asiya, which is the physical world, the most physical material world, this is our world. That's why new letters were introduced at that time to show that now the flow is unimpeded. The flow is without any obstructions. It's coming straight down. And that's the meaning of the Gemara that says that Ezra, who was the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, right after the Nes of the Purim, introduced Ksav Ashuris, the perfect calligraphy. Because the Olam HaTeva, this world, was fixed up by the story of the Megillah. Now he says, why Taka does the Gemara say that originally, when Ezra came They had the Ksav Ashur, is the best Ksav, because the language is still Arami, who saw Aramaic. That's not the best. Why didn't Ezra bring the perfect Lashon HaKodesh right away? Later on, the Gemara says they took both. The best language, Lashon HaKodesh, and the best Ksav. Why not right away? Says the Kedushas Levi, because originally, in the time of Ezra, if you learn Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, you see the Yidden were Nichshol in something. They were intermarried. There was a lot of intermarriage and assimilation. And Ezra and Nehemiah had to get them to get rid of their shiksa wives. So therefore, because of that, they weren't zeichet to the Lashon HaKodesh right away. They had Aramaic, a foreign language. Because they still had foreign wives. When you have foreign wives, you have a foreign language. After they got rid of their wives, and Ezra encouraged them to get rid of their shiksa wives, so then they got the Lashon HaKodesh as well. But all happened, the Pasuk says, V'hoylem lo'ayis oylem. The Gemara says, this is what Pasuk. V'hoylem lo'ayis oylem, this is Mikra Megillah. The Megillah, the remez to Megillah is from a Pasuk. V'hoylem lo'ayis oylem. I shall make them a letter forever. It's referring, says the Kedushas Levi, to the letters of the Torah. Not oylem, oylem doesn't mean a sign. It means the letter itself. But the letters of the Torah represents the Seichel of Klal Yisrael. If the Seichel is not B'derech Yosher, if our minds don't see God everywhere, and we see a lot of obstacles in our vision of Hashem, then the letters of the Torah reflect our crooked, obstructed vision. When Klal Yisrael sees Hashem everywhere, even in the lowest places, even in Karka Olam, then we're Zeichel to letters that are beautiful letters, Sava Shuris, perfect letters. And now we understand, he says, why it says by Mordechai, the Mishnah Shkolim, Perakei, Mishnah says that Mordechai has another name. You know the other name, Mordechai? There's another name mentioned in the Mishnah. Mordechai? What? His name is Psachya. Mordechai's name is Psachya. Now you'll notice that the first three letters of Psachya are double the first three letters of Mordechai. Because Mordechai is a mem, and Psachya is a pei. Pei is twice a mem. 80 is twice 40. Right, Gedalia? And Psachya, a tough, is twice a resh. A resh is 200, a tough is 400. And Dalit is 4. And the Ches of Psachya is 8. The last two letters of Mordechai are twice as much as the last two letters of Psachya. Psachya is Yud Hei, and Mordechai is Chaf Yud. Chaf is twice the Yud, and Yud of Mordechai is twice the Hei of Psachya. But at any rate, Psachya is Mordechai. Why? The Mordechai says, why is it called Psachya? Because Mordechai knew how to be Peseach, he could open up all the seven languages of the world and could explain them. Because Mordechai, you know, knew the seven languages. That's the story with him and Bixam and Seresh, right? They thought he didn't understand, but he did, because he was in Sanhedrin. So Mordechai represents, his name is Psachya. Why, said the Mishnah? Because he could open up the secrets of all the languages of the world and explain them. Says the Halakha Kedushas Levi, that's exactly what we're saying. Because all the languages of the world derive from Lashon HaKodesh. And Lashon HaKodesh itself was locked up until the story of the Megillah. They didn't have the Ksav Ashuris. Because since their minds were not clear, and this world was an obstacle to seeing Hashem, and the Karka Olam, the earth, people didn't see Hashem in the lowest world of Asiya. But the chiddush of Mordechai and Esther, in Megillas Esther, was that in the biggest Esther, in the most hidden places, in the greatest concealment, there was a Megillah, there was a Gilui. So Mordechai and Esther brought the light of Hashem down to the lowest places on the earth. That's why Mordechai is called Psachya. He opened everything up before God. Nothing stood, there were no obstacles, no interference. No doubts, no darkness, no blur. Mordechai opened everything up. since he made the light of God clear everywhere, he was zocher that because of him, the letters of the Torah became straightened out, and the letters became a perfect conduit to bring the light of Hashem down to this world. And we have Ksav Ashuris, which is perfect handwriting. The perfect handwriting. And that's Pshat Mordechai knew 70 languages. Because all the 70 languages are crooked. They're a derivative and a reflection of Lashon HaKodesh, of Ksav Ashuris. When Ksav Ashuris, Lashon HaKodesh, became opened up by Mordechai, so all the languages of the world got clearer too. Because all the languages of the world are derivative of Lashon HaKodesh. And Mordechai opened up Lashon HaKodesh to the light of Hashem, even all the other languages, all the other handwritings, they also were enlightened, illuminated, and opened up through Mordechai's Upsachya. And he explains that when a Yid opens up everything to Hashem, then the whole earth becomes his ally. That's why Mordechai's name, there's a remez in Shmois Lamed, Kach Lecha B'Samim Reish, right? And the Targum of B'Samim Reish is Mora Dachya, which means pure mirror. So the Gemara says in Chulin, Mordechai Matarmanayim, what's the remez to Mordechai? From B'Samim Reish. Mordechai, the targum of B'Samim Reish is Mir Dachya, Mordechai. He says, why? Because Mordechai, Mir Dachya means pure mirror. Mordechai is B'Samim Reish. He's at the top of everything. Mordechai is Psachya. Mordechai went to the Shirish. Mordechai goes to the top. He opens up the faucet that the light of Hashem should spread over the entire world, spread down even to the depths of the world, in the lowest places. So that's why the remez to Mordechai is from B'Samim Reish. Actually, the word B'Samim itself is B'Shamayim Reish. Same letters as B'Shamayim. He goes to the top, he goes to the head in Shamayim. And he brings down all the light down to this world. And made all the 70 languages benefit from it. So his name himself reflects the idea that he went to the top and brings it down from heaven down to this world. The Reish is the Reishes. And now he says, okay, there's a lot to talk about. I'll conclude with this. It's beautiful. And again, as usual, I'm telling you, I'm only telling you mamash, the slightest detail. I'm not giving you the whole story. There's much, much more. Much, much more. But it's two more nekudas. One nekuda is Yechiel Aryeh, that the Gemara says that a mezuzah boy sirtut. You know what sirtut is? That when you lay in the Torah, you saw that every line had scratched in. You scratch the lines into the cloth. That's called sirtut. A scratch. And the Gemara says that a Megillah has to have sirtut. But it says in the Pasuk that the Megillah was written as Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. It has to be written with peace and with truth. And the Gemara says, what's the truth? It has to be written like Avita Shel Torah, like the Emes of Torah. And the Emes of Torah, says Taisus, means not tefillin, not even the Sefer Torah. The Emes of Torah is a mezuzah. Because only a mezuzah requires sirtut. You must have it. You weren't aware of that. You know what sirtut is? The indentation, the scratch in the lines. You have to write in the line, the sirtut. The Torah has it, but not as much as Achir. Says the Kedush Levi, Tosfos Menacha says that that which the Gemara says, that the Megillah has to be written, Kamida Shel Torah, it says the Megillah is Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Mordechai has to write Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Words of peace and words of truth. That means the Megillah has to be written peacefully and truthfully. Says the Gemara, that means the Megillah has to have sirtut, it has to be underlined. You have to have these lines like Amita Shel Torah, like the Emes of Torah. What's the Emes of Torah? Mezuzah. Mezuzah is called like the essence of the truth of Torah. So the obvious question is why mezuzah? Why is the mezuzah considered the ultimate truth more than tefillin? More than the Sefer Torah itself? How can you say a mezuzah is a mitzvah Torah more than the Torah? And not only that, the tefillin have four parshas. What are the four parshas of tefillin? What's the first one? First parsha of tefillin is from Bai Kadesh V'Kol B'chor. Second parasha is V'Yikiyu Yacha from Bo. Third parasha is Shema. Fourth parasha is V'Hayim Shema. Right? So Tefillin have four parashas. The regular two, Shema and V'Hayim, plus two more, Kadesh and V'Hayim. What parts are in the mezuzah? What's the mezuzah? Comic strips? What's the mezuzah? What's inside the mezuzah? Shema Mahoya. So mezuzah is half a tefillin. So how can you say that you should write a Megillah with sirtut like a mezuzah? Because the mezuzah is the emes of Torah. If the mezuzah is the emes of Torah because there's Shema Mahoya, so tefillin is even better. It has Kaddish V'Hoya Kiviyecha plus Shema V'Hoya. So why is mezuzah considered more emes than the tefillin, which has the same thing plus? Good question. Pretty obvious question. So he says that the reason is because the mezuzah is in a very lowly place. It's attached to a house which is a mechubar l'karka, which is a mechubar to the earth. You don't put mezuzahs on tents. Mezuzah is on a house, there's a mechubar l'karka. Questionable when the bay goes, boats, not the pasha. But the normal mezuzah is on a house, that's mechubar l'karka. That's on the ground. It's on the ground. Because the chiddush of mezuzah is that Hashem, His name is attached even to the earth itself. So we're saying the word is that a house is like the lowliest place you can put something in God's name. It's a house. It's dirt. It's earth. It's bricks. It's stones. It's lowly stuff. So that's why the mezuzah is called the Amidah Shel Torah, because the purpose of the emes of Torah is that the teachings of the Torah should penetrate down into the bowels of the earth. That's why mezuzah, dafka, because it's attached to an earthen house, which is attached to the ground, is considered the emes of Torah, more than tefillin. So it's not the parshas themselves of Shema V'Hoya that make mezuzah emes. It's where you're attaching it to the earth. And therefore mezuzah, he says, represents the whole story of Megillah. Why in the world does the Megillah compare Megillah to mezuzah? Why would we say the Megillah? He says, that's exactly the point. Because the letters, what we're saying at the sirtut. Sirtut represents the same concept. You're taking the hide of an animal, you're making it the parchment, and sirta means that we're making an indentation into it. We're making an impact into it. We're penetrating into the parchment. We're going into the animal skin. So sirta represents the entire philosophy of Megillah and the philosophy of mezuzah. The idea of Megillah is that God's presence penetrated even into the lowest places, even into the flesh, even into the earth, even into the karkola. The chiddush of Megillah is that new, that God was blazing new frontiers and new trailways for sanctity. Trailways of sanctity. God was a trailblazer. Until now, the kedusha of God was in Olam HaAtzilus, Olam HaBriya, Olam HaYetzirah. But again, Olam HaAsiya, this scientific world, this lowly, mundane, material, profane world, it only happened after the Nesa Megillah, that Esther is profaning herself, living with a guy and all this stuff, and yet the great kedusha comes out of it. A holy yavda comes out of it. So therefore Megillah represents that God is penetrating into the lowest places. That's why the Megillah has to have sirta, it has to have an indentation, to show that you can make an indentation, you can make an impact, even on flesh, even on the hide of an animal. And that's why the Megillah is compared to mezuzah, because the mezuzah is also a lowly place. It's attached to a house, which is attached to the earth and the dirt. That's the chiddush mezuzah. That's why it's called Amidah Shel Torah. Beautiful. Because it represents the emes of Torah, it's like a bulldozer. No obstacle standing in its way. The embers of Torah penetrates everywhere, even into your house, which is stones, sticks and stones. He says that's the significance of the creases in your forehead, also called sirtutim. Let me see if we can read them off today. Everybody has different forehead. Very interesting, Gedalia. Very interesting. Forehead. Why do we have creases in our forehead? Because the forehead in front of your brain Mikris represent, we want to make an impact into your brain. Sirta is the idea of impact. Sirta means that you're making a scratch, you're making a dent into something which is very hard to make a dent. The brain is dense. To make a dent into the dense brain is a big chiddush. So that's why the only other place you have the word sirta is on your forehead. It's the same kind of sirta as you have in the Sefer Torah. Wise people can read people's foreheads. It's a chokhmah. One of my friends knows how to read foreheads. Very interesting. You don't really believe that, do you? Really? That's what you think? Oh boy, it's all over your forehead. What? Yeah? So the sirtutim represents making an impact. So mezuzah, that's mezuzah. So he says that this is the idea. He says now I'll explain to you, and we'll conclude with this, gentlemen. That's the secret of Matanos Lev Yainim. What's the thing of Matanos Lev Yainim? He says Matanos Lev Yainim is really a metaphor, an allegory to the world. You know who the biggest Evian was? Who the most needy entity in the world was until the story of Purim? This earth. This earth was dying, so to speak, that Hashem should make an impact on it. The earth said, when are you going to come to me? The Torah is given on top of our Sinai. It's in the Shemayim still. It's in very high places. Then you build the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Torah is, in the Kodesh Kedoshim. But I want Torah to be everywhere. We are like Aniyim. We're Avyonim. Only an Evian has a yearning, a desire, a lust. Evian wants everything. He's Tov Lakol. The earth was an Evian for Torah and for Kedusha and the presence of God. And Purim, since that in the world, the Evyanim, who have desires to get money. Because on Purim, the desire of the neediest, which is the earth itself, the dirt itself, the rocks themselves, their desire was fulfilled that God penetrated even down to there, even to the Karakolam. You hear a pshat? That's a pshat. Because all the lamas and mishtaikim v'cheftzim lavas is Hashem. And this world also wanted to serve Hashem. And Hashem had rachmanis on this world, this never poor, impoverished world, and he sent his Kedusha and made an impact into this world. That's why we have Sertutim and the Mezuzah and the Megillah. That's why the mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yainim, to symbolize that God, we thank God for giving gifts to this poor, impoverished, needy, desperate world that was desperate for God to penetrate into the bowels of the earth, down to the innermost parts of the earth. And by giving Matanos Lev Yainim, on Purim Tak, it was Zaycha, that this idea is re-aroused, is aroused again on every year on Purim. But just like my kindness, my goodness penetrated into this Ani and helped him out when he needed it very badly, so too, may Hashem keep penetrating down to this world, not be distant from us. Hashem should not be aloof and distant from us, be very close to us. And the Schutz of Matanos Lev Yainim, that we give the poorest to the poor, the hungriest to the hungry, the most yearning of yearning, it's Hashem, our yearning is spirituality. You don't care about money, food, nothing is no interest to you, nothing material about you. If you make a few $1 million, you give it right over to me, right? Of course, it's Hashem. So Matanos Lev Yainim is the idea that a Jew, the world and the Jew is an Evyon for God's presence. And to symbolize, so the more we give to the people who are poor and poor for money, and for objects, and for material things, we'll be zaycha that our yearning for spiritual things will be fulfilled. And Purim was the ultimate fulfillment of spiritual yearning, because the whole earth was suddenly radiated with God's presence. The whole world was tingling with God's presence. And that's why really in Golas we can survive. If not for the fact that the presence of God now penetrated to every location in the world, all over the globe, now we feel hospitality everywhere we go. We have a shaykhus. So that's the secret behind Matanos Lev Yainim, according to the Kedushas Navy. So we'll conclude with that, gentlemen.